Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
We're going to do something a little different right now. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. If you don't have that version, I'm going to have it on the screen right now. And if you have your cell phones, please, if you want to put them on the silent position or off. Amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Giving Thanks Unto Thee. Giving Thanks Unto Thee. Amen. Deacon? On both these speakers, can you turn them down just a bit? I'm getting a little feedback. Before we get started.
Yep.
Thank you. Yes, that's much better. That took it away. Amen. Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Okay, so turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 14 through 22 together. We're all going to read it together and then we can be seated, okay? Are we ready? Let's read. Now, we exhort you, brethren. Here it's on the word. It's right here on the screen if you don't have it. Warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Verse 17. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of His Word. You may be seated. The theme of this message this morning is this. In everything, give thanks. Give thanks. And guess what? Giving thanks includes going through awesome times, exciting times, but also through hard times. How many of you been through some hard times? I believe some of us face those hard times more than we do good times. And when we don't understand why God allows us to go through suffering and trials, saints, we may let our situation extinguish our grateful spirit. Listen, God wants you to always have a spirit of gratitude, a spirit of expectation, a spirit of excellence, even in the midst of your trial. Oh, that's right. You know why? Because He's not going to leave you there long. And guess what He's doing? He's teaching you something. And many of us are in the school of hard knocks. We're in the school of hard knocks, aren't we? So instead of rejoicing and praising God for who He is and what He's done for us, many a times we pout. Many of us go into our woe is me party. Oh, come on. You ever get that call? Oh, pray for me. You know what? You need to pray for yourself. You need to pray for yourself. You need to say, oh God, let this thing that you have allowed me to enter in, see me through it, God. How many believe that God will see you through it? And so we need to look at the things that God says to give gratitude and thankfulness to. We just read verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians. Let's read it again. And everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you. You notice it's for you in Christ Jesus. Each and every one of us, God wants us to have a thankful heart. The Lord desires that we have a grateful, wonderful spirit, no matter what your circumstance is. You know, some of you may get a report from a doctor that says, it don't look good. I say, okay, thank you, doctor, but I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Because the Bible says that I am healed by the blood. Can I get amen? Amen. This is why I told my brother that we need to hear more songs about the blood. Because there's power in the blood. Amen. There's deliverance in the blood. Hallelujah. There's salvation in the blood. Amen. All these modern songs that we hear nowadays, very rarely you hear Jesus and you don't hear the blood. Somebody needs to bring back the blood. Because that's the only thing that can wash away my sins is the blood. But we don't see the blood no more. Why? Is there a reason behind it? Oh, yes. The enemy has crept in to dilute the church. And if he could get in his hands in it, guess what? He's going to take away the power. You need the blood. Look what I found in Ephesians 5:20. Always giving thanks for all things in the name, what? Of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Always. Every aspect of your life, you should always be thankful. Are you a thankful person? Or are you one of those bitter people? How many of you remember Gulliver's Travels, the cartoon? There was this one little guy that always would go, he'll never make it, it'll never work. Is that you? Huh? Are you that character that's always doubting God, thinking that God cannot come through for you? You need to think again. Can I get amen? Amen. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. And we are told to be thankful for what? For all things. Every aspect of your life. Good, the bad, and the ugly. And there's some ugly in us. Oh, come on. You came in there all spiffed up, but there's some ugly there. Every one of us. Come on, every one of us. But in all things, give thanks. Say, God, you made me this way. God, help me. Help me get past these things. A lot of them we've acquired from childhood. And we haven't learned to shake it off. Things happen to you in your life. You haven't been truly able to let go and forgive and forget. And they cling on to you like you ever seen dust on a cloth or lint? It just clings on. Man, I thought I wiped that off. There it is again. And so I need you to understand this. Whenever God allows us to experience a trial, a situation of a hardship, even a blessing. There's blessings too to be thankful for. Can I get amen? Amen? And I know all of us want blessings. We live for blessings. But can you be thankful to a hardship? Because Paul wrote it best right up here. And we know that all things, say that with me, all things work together for good to those who love God. Now, that's only for those who love God. It's not for those who know God or know about God. It's those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. If you've been called by the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a built-in mechanism already that you love him. Yes. That koinonia spirit, the Holy Spirit. It permeates love. It radiates his love. It should pour out of you his love. And so always remember this scripture. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Not just know about him. Not just read about him. Not just, well, yeah, I went to Sunday school. I saw that scripture. No. That love God. When you find yourself in love with him, watch what all the things that God will do for you. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you, not only does he allow you to go through things in life, but he's there to protect you, to watch over you, to equip you, to encamp his angels about you. The song that we sang, the blood upon your doorpost to defeat your enemies. The blood covers you. My goodness. And so, saints, we won't always see the good immediately or even during our lifetime. But in heaven, it will make all sense of what we went through on this earth. Come on, every one of us has a story that when you share it with other people, they still can't make of it. But you understand it very well. But God's going to show you why and what happened and how he resolved it for you. Only God can speak to you on that. Gratitude demonstrates our trust in the Lord. So look at this. Why should we be grateful to God in everything? You ever ask that question, why? So we're going to look at some principles. We're going to look at some biblical principles to help us understand, to have a grateful heart, a thankful heart, a praising soul. One that will rather see peace than be an adversary with war. How many love peace? Back in the day, it wasn't peaceful, huh? Back in the day, what up? Oh, come on, we would mad dog somebody. What up, man? All we had to do is look at somebody to pick a fight. Huh? Oh, come on. That's how we rolled. But that's not how it is in the kingdom of God. So if you still have that what up, somebody need to get back to the altar. Can I get an amen? Somebody said, man, God, help me let this thing go. I can't roll like this no more. I need your heart. I need to have a heart like you, God. I need to be gentle. I need to be pliable. I need my children. I need my wife. I need my friends. I need my family. I need my co-workers. I need everyone to see Christ, the living hope that lives in me now. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And when they start seeing that now, You're gonna see a lot of them come into the saving knowledge. Because they're gonna know that God is real. Because they're gonna know you. So number one, it keeps us continually aware that we are walking in his presence, which contributes to a godly life. When you're in his presence. When you're in his presence, what do you think of? Man, I think of unspeakable joy. I think of people getting baptized, getting filled with the Holy Ghost, coming out of the water. Every time I'm in his presence, I look at the things that he has done, the mighty things, the mighty works. And we don't do them. He does them through us. As believers, saints, we will never walk alone. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives within us. He lives within you. Turn to your neighbor and say, he lives in you. Saints of God, gratitude reminds us of His presence, and it motivates us to respond in a godly manner. Why? By seeking to view our pain and trouble from His perspective. Listen, when we look at things through His perspective, guess what? Our pain and our trouble becomes minute. When we go into a trial, it's so enormous. Oh my gosh! And then when you get before Him, and He fills you with His power and His love, you look at that, what was I all worried about? Why was I so troubled? Why? Because God is with us. I need you to look at His attributes. How many believe that He has awesome attributes? Amen. You know what His attribute is? We're going to look at three of them real quick. Let's look at these. He's omnipresent, meaning God fills all space. So everywhere on this planet, He fills all space. He's omnipotent. God is all powerful. There's nobody more powerful than God. I don't care how many nukes Russia has. God is still, all He has to do is through the blast of His nostril will wipe that whole nation out. Omniscient. God is all knowing. You know what I love about God? Remember we prayed for your friend in Denver this morning? At the same time we were praying for him, somebody in China, somebody in Japan was praying prayers to God too. We don't know who they are. We don't know what they were praying to God. But they're praying to Jesus. And he heard them the same time. Amen. He's all knowing. He knows everything that's in your mind. There's nothing you could keep from Him. Did you know that you could sin privately and He already knows what you've done? My goodness. He's all-knowing. And so by knowing this, we should have great confidence and be thankful to Him. Because He's all that up there, He doesn't destroy us. He loves us. He wants to see us make it. He called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Just Sister Tammy's small little tiny testimony of what she had to do to wake up. I was all prepared. And many of us have similar testimonies. But yet, God could have just flicked you like a pulga. And out your life went. Right? He could have just smashed you. No. He chose to save you. He chose to save you. He chose to save me. Hallelujah. Why? Because He's for us. He's not against us. He created you. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, He created you to have fellowship with Him. He made you so that you can communicate with Him. My, my, my. Come on, you got to get a hold of this thing. You know, people have a misunderstanding of God. People think that God's up there with the bat waiting for you. Now, bam! He's not like that. He's long-suffering. He's patient with us. He knows we're frail. He knows we're made from the dust. He knows the nature that we inherited from Adam and Eve. And yet He still saved us. That blows me away. It blows me away how we can be so far gone in life, so we think, and yet He comes along by and He breathes life into you. He quickens you. And then He calls you to Himself. And then He adopts you. And then He washes you in His blood. And then He fills you with His Spirit. And then you are His forevermore. He adopted you. We're all adopted children of God here. Can I get an amen? Amen. And it causes the Jews to be jealous of it. it's provoked them to be jealous. Why? Because they're still in darkness. Many of them are still in darkness. But the light came to the Gentiles, us. And look at us now. Number two, look at this. Gratitude motivates us to look for the Lord's purpose in everything that happens. I'm talking about everything. I'll put it like this. Everything. Everything. Look at 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save what? Sinners. He came to save us, not destroy us. People have it all twisted up. See, the devil wants you to think that God's angry at you. He's mad at you, so don't come to him. That is a false outcry. He came to save sinners. And then Paul said it best, of whom I am chief. Paul the Apostle was a chief sinner. He basically was the original drive-by. He would drive by Christians' homes and then he would ransack them, pull them out of their homes, burn them at the stake, feed them to lions in the arenas, have the gladiators have their way with them. Oh, yes. He was a chief sinner until God got a hold of him. Can I get an amen? God got a, listen, when God gets a hold of you, you'll never be the same. Hallelujah. Come on. You'll never be the same. Woo! Many of us was toe up from the flow up. Come on. What was that? Sipping on that yak? Is that what I heard back there? Just I got to watch what you're drinking back there. Look at this. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus might show all long-suffering, all patience. And did he show patience with us or what? Look at this. As a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Look at that. He's even looking ahead. It's a pattern to those who are going to believe that haven't believed yet. Some of you are saying, oh man, I think I heard you say, my kids need to be saved. That's why he came to the cross. Because you got to believe that he's going to save them too. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. King David wrote it best. Those who trust in the Lord are as a Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Yes, he will. Proverbs 3 and 5. 5 and 6. Thank you, God. Look at Psalms 125 up here. Oh, no, wait. Let's look at this. Number 3. Being grateful brings us into submission to God's will when we're suffering pain and heartache. It brings us to submission. In other words, we throw in the towel. How many of you had a pain that you, it wouldn't quit? I don't care how many Tylenols, I don't care how many antacids, I don't care what you've done, man, you're just rolling. It's painful. And some of us go through that. Yet God will deliver you from it. Being grateful brings us into submission to God's will when we're suffering pain and heartache and heartache. One story that I find that is so, I'm going to say transforming, was Paul and Silas. How many know the story of Paul and Silas? How many remember when they were incarcerated? They're in prison. And they were what? Bound together. They were in a dungeon. Now let me just say this. They weren't in Donovan's prison. Donovan's prison had all the running amenities. It has flat screen TVs. It's got a yard to go exercise, right? It's got all that. It's like a hotel. You just can't go to Macy's no more. But you have all the amenities in there, right? Not their prison. They didn't have a card hanging on the wall that said A for cleanliness. No. It was rat infested, roach infested. And they had to urinate on themselves. They had to do all kinds of despicable things in prison. And so they were serving the Lord. They were winning souls. They were preaching the gospel. And then they got apprehended and they got beaten. They got beaten to a pulp. And then incarcerated. And then thrown in prison. How do you praise God in that? Well, they saw the bigger story. Let's go there. Let's go there. Let's go to Acts 16. Let's go to Acts 16, verse 16, and read the story. Let's read this story. Look at this. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought masters much profit by fortune telling. The girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And they did. She did this for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her master saw that the hope of the prophet was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Look at verse 20. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful to us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them. Look at that. And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. So now they were beaten with steel rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison and commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Let me pause before I go any further. They were just doing what God called them to do. They had to rebuke that divination girl who was spewing out ungodliness. But what they did was they cut off that money source. And so they didn't like it. They said, "Now you're touching with our money." So what did they do? We just read. They apprehended them. They brought them before the magistrates. And then they beat them basically to death. And then threw them into prison. Wow. Wow. Let's continue with this story. Look at verse 24. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. Look at this. Were they crying? Were they going, "Oh, woe is me"? Look what they were doing. Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. What? Why? Because they were praying. They were praying to Jesus. Look at verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, this is the guard, awakening sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Why did he want to kill himself? Because the magistrates would have killed him for not watching the prisoners. And they all would have escaped. So he goes, I'm just going to take my life. I'm not going to let them take my life. But look what happens here. But Paul called with a loud voice saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, and he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? When's the last time someone fell at your feet and say, I want to be saved? Our walk should demonstrate what Paul and Silas, men of prayer, of fasting. When you fast and pray, the anointing of God will be all over you. And people around your life will fall at your feet and say, what must I do to be saved? This man just saw them as prisoners until they did the godly thing. They could have sprinted out of there. And that man would have lost his life. But he saw these men of integrity. He saw the anointing on their life. He saw them and heard them singing songs unto the Lord when they were in captivity. What a witness. They were a witness. That's called being a witness. Look at verse 31. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You and your household. Look at that. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. This is the security guard. This is the guy that was watching over them, making sure that none of them would escape. Look how this story ends, verse 33. And he took them the same hour of the night. He washed their stripes. Look at this. The stripes that he had to beat on. He beat them. The jailer was one of them that beat on them. But look what he did. He came and he washed away their stripes. And immediately he and his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them. And he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. That's how you win a soul. That's how you win a soul. It's not how much scripture you know. It's not how many Bible studies you went to. It's about the anointing of God in your life permeating through your body. And all you have to do is be a witness to them that God can do the same what he has done for you. Can I get amen? Amen. It's not being about a scholar. It's about being a witness. Being a witness. Can I get a witness? Number four, look at this. Being thankful reminds us of our Lord. Continual dependence upon the Lord. Continued dependence. How many of you can honestly say, I depend on everything on the Lord? I'm going to admit to you or confess, I didn't understand that in my early walk with him. It wasn't until later that I understood that I had to commit everything to him. Amen. Everything. Every aspect of my life. And when he finally got a hold of everything that I had to give him, then I started seeing myself being utilized by him. Because once he starts using you, you don't want nothing else to satisfy your life. Because the world can't satisfy you. The world can only temporarily give you temporal happiness. God gives you eternal joy. Happiness comes and goes. But joy from the Lord is eternal. And that inner glow, that inner, oh, It's hard to explain. Look what King David wrote up here. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Because why? They trust in Him. At one time we were handled by wicked men. That's all we hung out with, was wicked people. And then God delivered us.
Thank you, Lord.
He gave us a new family. And now we're the family, aren't we? You know, I know we have immediate family. We have blood family. Praise God. But there's something special about God's family. And you know what that is? The Koinonia Spirit. We all have the Holy Spirit. So we can relate to one another. We can understand one another. We know how to pray for one another. We know how to lift each other up. We know how to bless one another. I can't speak of your family, but I can speak of mine. I wish we were closer, but we're not. I wish I could depend on them like I depend on you guys, and it's not. But one day, well, God will show me why. I don't know why. I haven't tried to figure it out. I just understand that God has given me a family that love Him, and I'm looking at this family right now. You guys all love Jesus. That's all that matters to me. You love Jesus. Whether you love me or not, you love Jesus. And if you love Jesus, I think you'll like me. Two for one. Thank you, God. Look at number five. Gratitude helps us trust the Lord when we don't understand why. Why? Why? Our Thanksgiving time of the year, we call this one Friendsgiving. First time I heard that word, so we'll use it, Friendsgiving. It reminds us that we don't have to understand situations of life when they're hard, but we can understand that all we have to do is trust Him in it. And He'll work us through them. He'll give us answers as we go. He don't give you the answers right away. As we go. As we go. Day by day. Number six. Thanksgiving is essential for rejoicing in the midst of our suffering. Once again, we read this one scripture. We'll read it again. Rejoice always. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. For you. You see, God hears and understands the depth of our agony. Did you know that Jesus' Father understood His agony? Remember this scene here? I don't want to put a photo scene, so I'll just use Scripture. But here in Matthew 27, Jesus cried out, my God, why have You forsaken Me? When He was on the cross, when He was bleeding everywhere, when He was whipped, flesh was ripped from His torso, His body. He had a puncture in His side. Nails in His hands, nails in His feet. And at that moment, He cried out, thinking that His Father had forsaken Him. That's tremendous agony. Every one of us, before death, moments away before death, we may have that moment. Where are You, Lord? Because until we close our eyes, we haven't been to the other side yet. But because we trust and believe by faith that when we close our eyes here, we will see him again when we open them again. Can I get amen?
Amen.
But in that moment, we may come to a moment like that. And just remember this scripture when it happens. It may not happen till another 50 years for some of you. 40 years. Some of you may be earlier than that. I don't know. Only God knows our days. But let me just say this. There's joy on the other side. Hallelujah. We're going to have a body that has no more pain. No more suffering. That's right. No more tuck and rolls. No more injections. No more this and that. No more glamorous this and glamorous that. We're going to have a perfect body. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Number 7, look at this. Gratitude to God in difficult times gives our witness a greater impact. A greater impact. Listen, don't be surprised when things happen. And things will happen. Can I get amen? Let me ask this question. How many of you are going through something right now? Okay. We're all going through, aren't we? Well, let's look what Scripture says about it. To give us that assurance, that give us a confidence that God's with us. Look in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4:12. Look at this. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. If Christ suffered, allow this suffering to take place. It's only for a moment, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. You see, God is saying, he's saying it like this. Whatever you're going through, it's only but for a moment. And then, when you get to the other side, there's going to be exceeding joy. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You know why? Because each and every one of us, he has our heart in his hand. And he wants the best for you and I. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
We're coming in for a close. Because that turkey's smelling good over there. Number eight. Thankfulness displaces anxiety with peace. Look at this. The Greek word for peace is irene. Means to bind together. Bind together. So the Bible is telling us, be anxious for nothing. How many of you can sometimes be anxious? Don't we? You're anxious right now, huh, brother? Yeah. Okay, so let God answer this for you. Right up here. In Philippians, be anxious for nothing, brother. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. Whenever you're going through that thing, trust in the Lord. Trust in God. How many believe that?
Amen.
Praise God. We got to just, yes, just a couple points and we close. Somebody getting something out of this study?
Amen.
Amen. Number 9. Thanksgiving focuses our attention on God rather than our circumstance. You know why? Because you have to understand we're not alone. You're not alone. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not alone. And then tell them, God is with you. I got some scripture to back that up. If I tell you that you're not alone, I better back that up. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You got to back it up. And so I back it up with Hebrews 13. Look at this. Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. In other words, don't walk around with a greedy heart. Be content with such things that you have. Whatever God has given you, be content with it. God will give you more. Just wait on Him. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll never leave you. And if God said that, you could take it to the bank. Because look, saints, God is with us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Emmanuel.
God is with us. So if He will never leave us nor forsake us, can we find anywhere He says, I'll always be with you? Yes. In Matthew 28:20, look at this. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. I'm with you always. God will never leave you. I know sometimes the situation looks ugly. He hasn't left you. You know why He hasn't left you? Because He loves us. He loves us. Look what I found in 1 John. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love. Now you got to know it. Because He laid down His life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Can you lay your life down for your wife, for your husband, for your children, for your friend? Can you lay down your life? And this is going to really go against somebody's grain. Because you got to remember, there's two camps. There's two camps in the whole entire Christian world. There's their Arminians, and then there's the Calvinists. Okay? I'm in between the middle. I take from the right and from the left, and then I throw away the bone. But this is what some people refuse to believe. But I believe this. We're eternally secure. Some folks, oh man, you know, you could lose your salvation. Really? I didn't know that. I didn't know God said, let's make a deal. So that means His blood cannot cover any sin. That means He could lose you. No. Not at all. That's quite the opposite. And this is the scripture that I show my Arminian brothers, and they don't know how to defend it. This is what you show them. Well, I'm going to show you right now. Because they don't know how to defend it. It's right up here. Look at it in John 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them, Jesus says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never what?
Never.
How much does never mean?
Never.
And neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Hallelujah. Now, it doesn't give us a license to sin. No, it don't. But it lets us know, oh God, if I do slip and trip, and make a mistake, you're there to pick me up and wash me and cleanse me and gives us opportunity to repent. Because we have to stay repentful. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Look at this. He will bring us through. How many believe that God will bring you through? Blessed is the man, James 1 and 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who what? You see, it's all about a love relationship. Do you love him? Remember, we talked about it earlier in this message. Do you love him? Or is he just head knowledge? Or is he just scripture in on ink and pages that you bring every Sunday? Or do you open your Bibles just on Sundays? But do you have a relationship there? Are you speaking to him every day? Do you talk to him saying, Lord, you know, I'm going to this place, Lord. Lord, I hope when I get there, there's a parking for me, God. Ask him for everything. Ask him to lead you. And lo and behold, when you ask him, there it is. Thank you, God. And give him thanks. Whether he did it or not, you give him thanks. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We all know that he's not our genie in the bottle. And don't ever think he is. But you know what? He wants that personal relationship. He wants you to talk to him like you talk to your spouse, like you talk to your children, like you talk to your co-workers, like you talk to one another. He wants that kind of relationship. That's what God is looking for. And I close with this. God will turn this experience into something profitable in our lives. So let me just say this. Whatever you're going through, we all raise our hand, we're going through something. It's not wasted time. It's not time wasted. God's going to take every second of it and use it for his glory to benefit you. You're the benefactor. And we know all things. We're going to close with this. Romans 8, 27 through 30. And we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom, look at this, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become formed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these also he justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. How many understand what I just read right there? Justified. When you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you surrender your heart to him, and you say, God, here I am. I come to you. Save me, God. And you repent of your sins, you come to him. Then what he does, he justifies you before his Father. Meaning, just as if you've never sinned. You catch that? And then he glorifies you. What does that mean? That means he sees in the future your glorified brand new body. You don't see that yet. You still see the old thing. That grows older every day. He sees the brand new body that'll never die. Praise God. Come on, give God a shout of praise. I'm going to ask right now those who are watching right now on YouTube and Facebook. Maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe there's someone here that's never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask that you would cry out by faith. right where you're standing. We're not going to put you on blast. We're not going to put you on the spot. But I would love for all of you to join me in prayer, to pray for those who want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and watch God do the miraculous in their life. Pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. I believe the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Come on, is he worthy? Listen, I'm going to...
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.